Welcome to Girls Positivity Club. Today on Girls Positivity Club, we are going to talk about friendship situations. And we'll start with an inspiring quote by Kate and Allie.
This quote is, "Making a million friends is not a miracle. A miracle is when you've made a friend who will stand by your side when millions are against you."
This means it's not important if you have every single person in the world as your friend. You just have to make one good friend who will always be with you no matter what happens.
One reason that we wanted to do a podcast on friendship is because this is very common with girls to have some of these situations. And one of the situations that we're going to talk about first is how to apologize when you have a friendship that something goes wrong in, and it's natural, and you need to somehow figure out how to apologize and make up. So here are Kylie and Wajiha to talk about that.
There are five different apology languages. I say, number one, say you're sorry and what you are sorry for.
Number two, accept responsibility for what you did.
Number three, how can you make it right? How can you show the person you still like them and love them enough to hurt their feelings?
Number five, respectful.
So be respectful when you are apologizing and think about the person's feelings. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So who here has had a situation where you've had to apologize to a friend? Carly, will you talk about that?
So I was hanging out with one of my friends, and my other friend decided that she wanted to play with me in the middle of recess. And I couldn't because my other friend was fighting over me with that friend, and then I had to apologize to both of them that I couldn't split my body in half for both of them.
Yeah, and did you feel kind of in the middle and
yes,
like you didn't really know
what
to do?
I felt stuck.
Yeah, you feel kind of stuck sometimes, and that's a common thing. Who has another situation where you had to apologize? Ireland?
I had a problem just trying to, like, find room for both of them. So, like, we also made, like, a solution for, like, one day we'll all hang out with both of them, and, like, Tuesdays or Thursdays I'll hang out with one of them on Tuesdays and one of them on Thursdays.
Yeah, and so I think with apologies, sometimes you have to compromise, like, right? So you have to think about, okay, I messed up, I need to say I'm sorry, and then I need to make it right in some way. So we have some ideas for how you can do that. So when you get into some kind of disagreement with a friend, and you don't know what to do, we have some tips on that. We also have tips on just handling different types of situations. So Aspen, Ireland, and Carly are going to take that topic.
Fighting with
two
friends.
With one.
Have you ever had issues with two BFFs?
Fighting over time with you.
Here are
10 ways to solve this.
Number one, talk things out. Number two, apologize. Number three, try to see things from the other person's perspective.
Four, walk away from situation. Five, stay positive. Six, make an agreement on time.
Seven, give space to your friends. Eight, connect the two friends to become friends. Nine, split your time so you can be with both people.
Ten,
explain and tell an adult about the situation you're in.
Okay, let's pause here because I feel like that these are very common things. How many of you have been in one of these situations? Okay. So I know you guys can't see this because it's a podcast, but pretty much everyone raised their hand, and I have too. So if you think about it, you're going to have three people wanting to hang out. And when you have three people wanting to hang out, it's hard because it's an odd number. And odd numbers are hard to split evenly, literally, right? Mm-hmm. In math, how do we split odd numbers?
Decimals.
Well, decimals. People aren't decimals, right? Last time I checked. So what do you do? Let's hear some ideas, or let's hear some examples, and then you guys can go into solutions. So, Kaylee, what's been a time for you where you've had two friends and you kind of feel in the middle, or they're like fighting over time with you?
I've had two friends, and they wanted to both do recess with me, and I'm like, okay, we can split the time in half. Our recess at our school is 30 minutes, so we can split the time in 15 and 15.
And how would you know if you didn't have, like, a watch or something?
We would, like, ask a teacher if they could, like, time it, and they could come up to us and tell us when 15 minutes is over.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And if you have a watch, you know, or if you... Yeah, tell a teacher. What's another one, Ellie, for you?
Well, I only have two friends in my neighborhood that are girls. Mm. So a lot of times it's hard to split my time evenly, because if I play with one or have a sleepover with one, then the other one kind of gets jealous. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of times on weekends, we either, like, do something all together, or, like, on Friday to Saturday, I do something with one friend. Then Saturday afternoon to Sunday, I do something with the other friend.
Yeah, do you guys ever have that happen? Have you used that situation? Yeah, so Ella, what's your idea? Like, what if you had happened?
So we were playing, there's three people, and I get, like, caught behind, and I don't know what they're saying, and I can't, like, squeeze in next to them. Mm-hmm. So you could just say, like, hey, can I listen to you? I feel a little left out.
Mm-hmm. And you have to communicate, and that's hard, girls, isn't it? Because sometimes you feel kind of awkward saying to someone, hey, I kind of feel left out. Because you feel silly, because you know they like you as a friend.
Yeah.
And so then you feel kind of awkward, right? I mean, I've felt that way before. You feel kind of awkward, and you're like, hey, I kind of feel left out. And they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't mean to do that. Or, you know, it's usually something like that. Kate, what's your experience?
This isn't really about fighting with your friends, but sometimes when you have, like, a birthday or something, you have different friends who don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't really just invite all of them, because they won't know each other. Like, I've been in an experience where my friend invited a bunch of people I had no idea who they were, and so it's kind of hard, because you just feel a little left out, and you're not important to them.
And especially, don't you guys think, like, if they're in different friend groups, so for example, you have, like, a sport, and you have your sports friends, and then I'm not trying to stereotype, but I'm just saying, like, you have a different group of friends. Church, you have certain people you hang out with that might be different than another group.
Like,
or what's another group you would have?
There.
Soccer, school friends, neighborhood friends. What else? Anything else?
Park bus friends.
People you...
Yeah. Gymnastics.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend. I have a friend, and she... Aspen just started, and Aspen doesn't know my friend that I've hung out with at my old school. And it was kind of hard for them to know each other. And they were kind of arguing about me because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, didn't know each other, but they both knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you go camping, like, we go camping all the time, and we always go see if there's anybody else around. Like, but it's always different, so.
Yeah. And sometimes you make, you know, you have a friend. Like, I'll give an example of my son. So we went camping, and he brought Charlie with him. And our other friend group, we have Kennedy and Miles and Tobiah and Emmylou. Well, they don't know Charlie. So we had to integrate Charlie into the situation so that Ryan was being fair to all of the friends, right? He was still giving time to Kennedy, and they're kind of like cousins. So he, you know, they've known each other since they were babies. So that's a different friendship.
Like that.
Right. So that's a different friendship. If you've known someone since you were really little, it's okay. If you've known someone since you were really little, and then you have a school friend, and they meet, and they've never met before, you have to come somehow figure out that whole situation, right? So what are some solutions that you guys came up with? Or sorry, some other situations we haven't mentioned, maybe.
So here are 10 situations you and your friends can be in.
Okay. Getting left out.
Ignoring one of them.
Lying to them.
Not talking.
Two of them having a group without the other.
Having other friends that don't like your friends.
Spend time with each other.
When one friend wants something that different than the other.
space out time with both of them.
And I think we could do a podcast about each one of those, honestly, yeah. because those yeah. are all really big issues. And those are things that we talk about all the time, whether you are 9 or 10, or whether you're 15, or whether you are, 43, 44 now. I had a birthday. But these are all types of issues that can come up in friendships, and it's important to think about how to solve them. So we have some other ideas for, like, what to do when you feel left out of a friendship. So this kind of leads into when you have a group of friends, and then you're the one who's feeling left out, what do you do when you feel left out? So Audrey, Kaylee, and Lily are going to talk about that situation.
So let's just say you were in this situation, that you're either having a sleepover or some type of party, like a birthday party. One of your friends has a sleepover, and they invite all of your friends, all of your best friends but you people.
Upset, forgotten, sad, and disappointed.
A way to solve this problem is, can I ask them, can I come next time, because I felt left out. Another situation that would be is group work. Your friend makes a group and they don't include you. You feel
left out, sad, mad, and irritated.
A way to solve this problem is ask them to be in the group next time, and if they say no, maybe it's not right for you. Another one is when my friend feels left out. All of your friends want to play a game. They are all ready, but they don't tell you what you have to do. You feel
mad, sad, you feel bad for the person, upset, and you think in your head, why would they do this to my best friend?
Tell the person who made your friend feel left out, please make my friend feel included next time.
So how many of you have been in a situation like this before? Yeah. So this is very common, again, no matter what age you are.
And boys.
Yeah, with girls or boys. And mostly, I think the reason we're talking as girls is because we are girls, but also because the girl's brain and the boy's brain is different, right? And we handle things and emotions differently than guys do, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
I think girls are, a little, not a lot, but just a teensy bit more sensitive.
Yeah.
Than boys, because boys, it's not because they've been through more, it's not because they've felt more feelings, it's just because I think that's just how God wanted us to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we just have, our feelings are hurt, and it can be something very, very,
simple.
Yeah, if last night my husband didn't ask me, how my day was. I know he wanted to know how my day was, so I just started talking about my day. He had talked about his day, but he had had a hard day. So sometimes, even with girls or guys, you don't know where they're coming from and their perspective, and so they may not even realize that they're hurting your feelings. So these are all good situations that have happened. Marlo, you have a situation?
Yeah. So I also have two girls in my neighborhood that are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I hang out with one of them, the other one gets really upset and feels like I'm leaving them out of the group, but I'm not.
And you're not doing it on purpose. You may not think that
I've been in that situation, but they weren't girls, they were guys, but they didn't really matter to me.
Right. So it's easy for us, and we have to communicate. We have to tell them, right? And that's the hardest part, because you do feel kind of awkward when you say, oh, by the way, that kind of hurt my feelings. And guy or girl, they can be like, oh, okay. I didn't even know.
It's
just
an awkward situation.
Yeah, but you have to force yourself to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so next up, we have Nyjah and Marlo to talk about a specific friend situation.
Our situation is, if you can trust your friend or not.
And trust is really important in friendship, isn't it? You have to know that what you talk to your friends about.
So, if I told, one of my friends that I had a crush on somebody, I wouldn't want them to just go tell everybody.
Right, and sometimes sometimes that does happen, doesn't it? You tell your friend something personal.
It's happened to me before.
And it doesn't, they don't mean to maybe, or maybe they're just so excited that they want to tell someone else and they don't know what a big deal it's going to be, and then they tell other people and then you feel hurt. So what would you do in that situation, or what ideas do you have about that?
We have friendship bonds too.
Okay.
Friendship, we all have it.
We know what friendship is, Naja. We're talking about trustworthiness.
Okay, go ahead. It's fine. Go ahead.
I know if you can trust someone. I've been in a situation where one of my older friends, she and I were just hanging out and talking, and then she just walked away for no reason. And I didn't really know what to do, so I walked up to her and asked her why she had done that. She didn't really have an answer, so I was kind of confused, but I kept her as a friend anyway.
Do you guys think that sometimes you don't know why you do something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that can be valid too, but it probably felt frustrating for you, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can trust them, it's called a friendship bond.
I know what a friendship bond is.
Why don't you tell Naija everybody what a friendship bond is? Why don't you take that over?
Friendship bonds, they're kind of like things that you can trust. That's how you know you can trust them.
So what are some examples, Naija? It's your turn, Naija.
A friendship bond is like you cannot leave them. It's a bond between you and your best friend. The bigger the best. Friendships get stronger all the time.
Yeah, so I think as your friendship goes on, you get closer and you learn to trust each other more and more. And you kind of have to prove that trust to each other, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways you have to kind of prove trust?
Whenever you start a friendship bonds, you can find things in common. So if you start a friendship bond, you start a good life.
Basically, basically what she said.
You are at a high level.
Yeah, so that would be like a mature friendship, right? You feel bonded and trusted, and that's something that is important.
Mm-hmm. One thing to test that friendship, I think, would to be like, ask them, like, not tell them a fake secret, but like, see if they understand first, and then you can tell them the whole situation. Like, tell them. Let's say.
See if you can tell them something small first.
Yeah, like tell them. Like, if I was going to tell one of my friends that I have a crush on somebody, I would start with, like, I have a crush on somebody, and then I'd see if, like, the next day maybe, I would see if anyone else knew, and then if they didn't know, then I would tell her who. Because right. I knew I could trust her because she kept it a secret.
Mm hmm. So, Ella and Anna have some ideas about friendship. What is your topic about?
It's whenever girls that have friends that are guys.
Oh, yeah. So, we had talked about how
I do.
We have several people in here who have guy friends. How many of you have guy friends? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all of us.
My best friend's a guy.
Yeah. So, same. What is tricky about that, Ella and Anna? What do you guys think is tricky about
that?
Well,
whenever people see them, like, playing together or something, they're like, oh, they must be like each other. They're boyfriend and girlfriend. But mm-hmm. they're not. They're just friends.
Mm-hmm. Or they don't have to be.
Yeah. I don't really want a title to be like a tomboy. I'm not a tomboy just because I wear a t-shirt and jeans and I play with a boy. I'm just me, and I am just going to be what I'm comfortable in and how I want to act, because boys are like wild, personally, and what I think, and I don't always want to be like the perfect kind of person who just does everything nice and calm. I want to be a wild person sometimes.
Sometimes you want to scream and yell and...
Sometimes
climb
you just
things.
Gotta look
yeah.
at
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't have... I'm an only child, so that's hard for me, because I can't yell at anybody. To yell! So,
just kind of be yourself, hang out with whoever you want to be with, and just don't care what other people think.
And it's easy to say that, I think. I think we can all stand here and say that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's hard sometimes when you're in the moment and people are, like, teasing you, and then you get,
like,
frustrated.
Like, you guys are dating.
Right, and you're like, we're not. And then I guess you just have to be secure in knowing, like, I know we're not. He knows we're not. Who cares?
Or, like, the opposite way.
If they're
just
teasing.
Just walk
I
away.
Know.
Yeah, she walk knows. Away and
right.
forget about
so
it.
So then who else really needs to know? Kate, what's your experience with this?
Well, because I have two brothers. And
exactly, yeah.
Like, if you have two brothers, and if they're older than you, then you can kind of see that boys are actually pretty fun. And so whenever, if you're, like, at school, sometimes it can be a little odd just because, like, how Ella and Anna said, they're like, oh, you guys are boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever.
Right.
But it's... Yeah, so sometimes I try to avoid doing that and just play with my friends who are girls.
Mm-hmm.
But... even if you do, sorry, because you can play with whoever you want to. It doesn't matter if you're a girl or a boy or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's just really could just make you feel more like who you are, like you guys were saying. We're running out of time today, so we are going to wrap this topic up, and we are going to continue talking about issues like this, and so we hope you subscribe and you just take some of these ideas and use them in your real life. So we're going to close with a quote and something to think about. We all love positive quotes, and we like to, a lot of us use them as our back screen and like our wallpaper on our phones and our iPads and everything. So Kate and Allie, take it away.
This quote is, let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile.
It kind of means, like, be who you are and you can change the world, but don't let people change who you are.
It's, yeah, and then, like, let your smile encourage you, but don't let the world... No, let your smile encourage others, but don't let others discourage you.
So we are all about positivity. That's what we do each week. We meet twice a week. We have lunch. We work on positivity. And so now we are sharing this with you. So thanks for joining us on Girls Positivity Club. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, peeps.
In this episode of Girls Positivity Club, we are going to talk about a couple of topics. We are going to discuss worrying and how to handle that, and we're also going to discuss how we were a positive influence on our special needs friends at our school. And so we have a panel of girls, and they're going to go around and say their names.
Kylie, Aspen, Wajiha,
Ireland, Audrey,
Kaylee.
And I'm Melissa Jones, and I am the person who, kind of the founder of the Girls Positivity Club. And our purpose in this group is we want to help people deal with things that are hard and really look at life in a positive way so that they can be happy and so that they can just not feel so overwhelmed by things that happen in life. So the first thing we're going to discuss is worrying, because everybody, whether you are an adult or whether you are a kid, everybody has worries, and sometimes the worries can be small or sometimes they can be big. And so our panel of girls today have some ideas for how you can get through times when you're worrying, and they're going to teach you a few of the techniques. So girls, do you just want to talk about some ideas that you came up with?
Mm-hmm. So one of my ideas was some people like worry about tests, mostly girls, because like, I don't know, like, I feel like they have more like they're more emotional than boys. So don't worry if you're going to take a test or something. If you are worrying, just say, don't worry, you can do it, and you can.
So what you're saying is, like, you say positive things to yourself. So one thing we talk about a lot in class is we stop and we switch the mood. So if we notice that we're thinking something negative about ourselves, girls, you know, we talk about that, right? We flip it. Yep. So you have to stop yourself and flip. And sometimes when you worry, there's really no reason that you're worrying. Like, maybe you didn't do bad on your other test, or You know, maybe it's just the idea of a test that makes you feel worried. Or maybe you didn't do as well the last time and you want to do better. So instead of focusing on that negative, what we're doing is we're trying, like Haley said, we're trying to focus on positive ways that we can think about it instead of just feeling like we get in that spiral. Have you ever felt like you've gotten in that negative spiral and you just feel like everything's coming at you at once and you just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some other things you do when you feel worried? What are some other situations?
Like when you're thinking something negative about something, you can say something positive about them because it's not nice to say something negative about somebody behind their back.
So, like, worrying about friendships. Do you guys ever worry about friendships?
Yeah.
I used to do that. So, does anyone have an example or something that you want to say, like, what you've done to help yourself through that?
Okay, so me and my friend Isaiah, like, we sometimes get in fights and stuff, but we all work it out, and we delete that conversation, and we just redo it.
Yeah, so sometimes you just need to reset, and whether it's a guy or a girl friend, you know, sometimes you just have to... stop and just reset the whole thing. Audrey, what do you do?
Like if something happened like the last day or something happened at school, I would do stuff that would relax me, like maybe drawing, going on a walk, and like telling myself positive things.
So you're saying that you do like an activity that would replace the worry? So those are good ideas. Does anyone else draw when they get worried?
Yeah.
Or take a walk.
I do.
Or do those things. And you know what? That's a great way. And you have to find your own way. Like, for some...
It's watch TV.
Yeah. For some, it might be watching a show. For others, it might be...
Making it right.
Cookies.
Like,
yeah.
Talking to your parents about mm-hmm. what you're worrying about.
Yeah. Maybe you need to actually just talk to someone, whether it's your parents or maybe it's someone...
Your friend.
Yeah, your friend. Like... And there's a difference, don't you think, about like, oh my gosh, can you believe she did this? And hey, this is really on my mind, I just need to talk to someone about it. There's a difference, right?
It's like, why would you say negative stuff to yourself, but then why wouldn't you say it to your friends? Because if mm-hmm. you said it to your friends, they'd get sad, so like, why would you do it to yourself?
Yes, that's a good point, because we talk mm-hmm. about that all the time. Like, would you say out loud, you know, I'm
ugly,
or I'm not smart, or something like that. Would you tell one of your friends that?
No.
Never. So you don't want to do it to yourself, right? And we have to keep reminding ourselves. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, for me, sometimes I wake up and I feel worried about something, and there's no reason. Like, it's almost a pattern, so you have to break that pattern, right? So if, like this morning, I woke up worried about things, getting things done, and just worrying about things that I really didn't even need to worry about. And so I had to stop and flip. And that's like what you were talking about, Aspen. Any other situations where you guys feel worried about something, like family or like things that happen? Do you guys ever worry about family members or?
Yeah. So I spent like a lot of time with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard something had happened to her. And I just started worrying about her because I was. Like, spent a lot of time with her,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered if she was, like, okay.
Yeah, so you were scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the time when you worry about someone, you're scared of something. You're either scared that they're going to be sick or
in the hospital.
In a hospital, or something bad happened to them.
That's what happened to my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
He hurt his back because they golf and do all that crazy stuff in their old,
mm-hmm.
and he hurt his leg, or his back and his leg, and then he thought he was all better, so he went out in the garage and fell.
Mm.
He was okay, though.
Yeah.
And then he woke up the next day, and his whole eye was bloodshot.
Yeah. So it can be really scary, and sometimes people happen, like, things happen to people, and you do worry about it. So what do? Because you can't do anything about your grandpa falling, right? You can feel for the person.
You could give them, like, a gift to, like,
yeah.
get well gift.
Mm-hmm. You can, what else could you do? If you're really worried about it.
You could maybe ask your parents.
Write a note,
ask your parents. If we can go, like, if you could go visit him
mm-hmm.
at the hospital and
well,
or wherever he is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd
wasn't in the hospital and they live in Florida, so you can't really go see them.
You could FaceTime. You could do something like that for sure. Ireland, can you think of a situation that you have ever worried about that we haven't really talked about? Because if I'm going to talk while you're thinking. So, guys, what I hear you saying is, you know, when someone is in the hospital or doing something that you really can't control, you have to, it's that same kind of mindset. Like, Kylie's not going to be able to fix her grandpa, right?
Yeah.
And she's not the doctor, and she's not going to be able to fix it. So it's, like you guys were saying, it's doing something to help yourself feel better, and maybe it's reaching out to that person and helping them, and sometimes it's hard to do that, but that's where that flipping your mental attitude and your positive, your PMA, positive mental attitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel worried, but you don't want it to take over and make you feel just like you can't do anything. You know, you feel kind of suffocated by it. You want to be able to be like, okay, I am worried about him, my grandpa. I'm going to call him after school. I know I can't go see him because he's in Florida. We're in Indiana. And I'm not going to get on an airplane and fly there. I could, like Aspen said, I could FaceTime. I could call. I could make him a card. I could, you know, if you are close by, I could go visit. And so there are things you can do to help you through that. Ireland, I'd like you to talk about when you have, like, an older sibling going away to college and you worry about things and how you get through that. What are some things that you did when your brother went away to college and you felt pretty sad that he was away because you're close? So what do you do to kind of get through for those people who have older siblings who go away? They either move out, because that's what people do when they get older, or they just go away to college and they come back. How did you deal with that?
Well, I felt pretty sad when, like, he went away. And I told Mrs. Jones about it, and she said during my free time I could, like, write him cards, or, like, I could call him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started writing him cards and sending them to him. But if, like, you have to send it to him from someone, like, where it's really far, mm-hmm. and, like, you need a special, like, sticker for it, I had to do that, and I was like, I just want to get this done now so he can get it as fast as possible.
Because he's in a different country.
Yeah.
So even if your parent works in a different country, or you have an older sister or brother who works in a different country, those are ways, like, because she was pretty sad for a while, and that's a very normal feeling. She knew she would see him again, but she didn't know when. And when people are in a different country, or even a different state, it can be a different time zone, and you have to figure all of that out. So writing and calling is a good way to keep in touch with those people. And did it help you feel a little bit less worried when you were able to?
Yeah, but when he didn't, like, answer right away, it kind of scared me, because, like, I got scared if, like, something happened to mm-hmm. him or he got hurt. But then I bought an app on my phone called WhatsApp, and we could contact each other.
WhatsApp? It's called WhatsApp.
Yeah.
A-P-P?
Yeah.
A-app.
So it's like text messaging, okay. but for, like, people in, like, a different country. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
So you just have to figure out how you can, and we talked a lot about, too, like, telling yourself that he was safe, and we talked, too, about when you're in college or when you're working out of a country, you can be really busy with your work or really busy with your schoolwork and not realize how much your family is wondering about you. So,
like,
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, Ireland was like, my brother's coming home today, and she was so excited. And when she got home, she said that she, like, was really, really excited, and she, like, gave him a hug. And, like, I think that's, like, a good thing, because it's, like, joyful, and you get to spend time with him now, because he's here for the summer.
Yeah. And when siblings come home from college and they stay for the summer, then, you know, at least you can tell yourself, I will see him for these few months, and then I know I have to say goodbye again, but now I know what it's like, and I'll be on my app, and I will, you know, think of ways I can talk to him.
Yeah, and now that he's, like, not in Spain anymore, he's, like, in this
in here.
Yeah.
When he goes to college, we could, like, visit him because it's only, like, an hour away.
Yeah.
So, like, it's way easier to visit him than when he was in Spain.
Right. So he won't be in Spain now. He's done with his travel abroad. Yeah. So one thing that I've been really thinking about is our life skill friends that we have been working with at our school this year. I think it could be easy to feel like you're not sure how to be friends with someone who's different and how you should act with them. So that could be kind of a worry that people have, but you guys have done a great job with knowing how to do that. So let's now transition into our life skill friends and just how have we gotten to know them and what are things that we've learned from them.
So I learned that on this one very special day that they got to do a Special Olympics just for special needs, because normally special needs people, they don't really get to do sports like we do. Their sports are maybe like therapy and like that stuff. So I think that they really like to do like sports in their free time, but they really can't do that. So I think that sports is a good way to maybe like help them. Like if you could get them like to walk around the room, that's still like a type of sport.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's harder for them to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else have you guys learned?
One thing I learned is that it's okay to be different from others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are some, like, to me, I didn't really know what to expect when we were told they were coming to our school. I mean, obviously I was accepting, but I didn't really know what kind of special needs they would have. And sometimes I think it can be scary for people because they're not sure how to act, or they're not sure,
like, how to be safe around
them. Yeah, because sometimes they'll do things like scream, or they'll do things like they don't talk at all, or like they roll around or something. Because
they do things to make you uncomfortable,
right,
but you have to act
like
it's normal.
Them. Yes, you have to be, yeah, go ahead.
Like, you have to act like you're, like, it's normal, because then they'll think, like, what am I doing wrong that you're not doing?
Oh, okay.
Because then they'll get, like, sad that they can't do the stuff that we can
maybe
do.
Maybe not sad, they'll get upset, and then things, like we would say in worrying, they would go in a negative spiral, and then they will get upset, and then they'll start hurting people.
Mm-hmm. Because that's when they do that, they're not doing it because they're mean people. They're trying to communicate, and they don't know how to say it, or they don't know how to get it across to other people. So sometimes they hurt people because they're trying to get someone's attention to let them know they're upset. And we don't do it like that, but it's good that we're understanding or learning to understand them a little better. What do you think, Ireland?
What I learned of when, like, they came, I didn't really, like, know when they were coming or, like, where they would be at. And then all of my friends told me about them, and they let me go down and, like, see them and, like, play with them. And then I realized how cool they are. And, like, sometimes they're actually cooler than us because they're different from us.
Mm-hmm.
So
what are some unique things that you've noticed about them that makes them pretty cool people
so
that you've met?
Caleb, he is in our class, actually, and the beginning of the school year, he was really shy. He didn't talk. He didn't really move. But then as the school year went on, he kept, like, getting more, like, comfortable. And I remember one time we were reading, and Caleb walked around to everyone and sat next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's actually starting to talk to
people he's
people
comfortable,
he's comfortable
uh-huh.
with. Because he was really shy and didn't really talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's going through rough times because his mom has cancer.
Yes.
And his dad's a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably only mainly around his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's hard for anyone when you have parents who
in
have.
The hospital.
Yeah, in the hospital, his mom, and then his dad has a dangerous job, you know, and it might be hard for him to.
And I
understand.
His brother, his older brother, probably has to watch him a lot.
Yeah. So that's probably a change in his family, just like we all have changes in our families. Is there anyone else that you guys have really learned from in life skills?
I have.
Aaliyah.
What have you learned? What have you learned from Aaliyah?
Aaliyah is a crazy girl. Some
sometimes she'll just run around and like lay on the ground and scream, or sometimes she'll even just want someone to like kind of hang on to her and like kind of sway with her.
But like when you love on her, and like she'll really get like calm.
Yeah, because like I think with Aaliyah, she just wants the attention and she wants someone like comforting her instead of just being like, hey, let me help.
And maybe her parents don't do that, so her school is time to do that.
Like, she's kind of relying on our school to like get a, get some love.
Because we come in there and she's calm.
And I think that's good. And it might too be that school for her is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe it could be.
She's in kindergarten, so.
And she's used to being around her parents. And maybe she has super loving parents who do hug her and comfort her. But sometimes when they go to different places, it's harder for them because they're used to their home, just like we all are. You're the most comfortable probably at your own house, right? And so think about if you have a hard time communicating anyway, or talking or whatever, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, by the way, you're going to school. And then now you guys have had the influence.
You're at your house like 24/7, but you're only at school for like a couple hours, and then you're going home again.
Yeah.
I think that Marco, he also has grown because he used to be shy like Caleb, but not also that, but he would just like stare at you for a second, but then like the funny thing is if you do a staring contest with him, he'll say, what you looking at? And it's really funny.
And he's also gotten really involved in music.
So at our Special Olympics, he actually sang the national anthem with our music teacher, Miss Grant.
And I think music can be so healing for a lot of people. And I think it's really important that you guys are learning all of this, and you'll get to still work with these kids next year. And that'll be just so great because you'll continue to be role models for them. And I'm just really proud of all of you for just thinking this way and sharing it with the world, because it'll be on Spotify, and people that are like us or different can listen to our podcast and get a lot out of it. So thank you for all giving up your recess time to talk about this. And next season, well, it'll still be the same in the same podcast,
but it will just be when we're in fifth grade.
Yeah, next season will be grade 5. And I'll do some over the summer too, just with me, and maybe I'll figure something out.
A special guest.
A special guest. Yes, I should interview
someone.
Maybe
with Ryan.
Yeah. Maybe have a guy's perspective if he's not too cool for that. Okay, so we will catch you guys later, and thank you for joining us on Girls Positivity Club.
Hi, I'm Astrid Rollins, and I'm here with
Carterly
Aurorally.
And today we'll be talking about breathing. What's breathing?
Breathing is something that can help you when you're angry, sad, or mad. You really can just breathe, and it helps you calm down. And really, it's fun for me.
So, do you girls have any, can you give us an example of when you used breathing?
Ooh. So, if you take a big run, like, really fastly, what you're going to do is you're going to usually breathe in through your mouth and out through your mouth, but you need to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. But because that tells your brain to calm down and, like relax. Because if you go through your mouth and out your mouth, it's like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
So, like what she was saying, if you breathe in through your mouth, it's just working up your body for no reason. All right, so now we're going to talk about three different types of breathing, starting with Carter.
Which is pretzel breathing.
Okay, so we're going to be learning about pretzel breathing. Pretzel breathing is when you take your hands, well, your arms, and you put left over right or right over left, and you want to face them towards each other.
So grab your hands.
I already forgot that. And then you grab each other, and when you breathe in, you're going to pull up, twist up towards your heart. And then once you go out, you're going to go out to where you started. In.
Couple one.
Out. All right. So, pretzel breathing can really help you. And
Why I said breathing is fun is because of this. All the moves you get to do can really help you. And next we're going to do square breathing with a whirly.
So basically box breathing is where you draw a box while you're breathing. So you're going to take one of your fingers and you're going to draw down while you breathe in. Okay, and then you're going to hold it and draw another line for 4 seconds or less. And then you're going to breathe out for 4 seconds or less and draw a line up. And then you're going to hold it, your breath, for another 4 seconds or less and draw a line diagonal. Straight. So then you basically just draw a box. Why are you doing the breathing strategies?
That's why it's called box breathing. Yeah. Because you're making a box while breathing.
You can do, you don't have to hold it for 4 seconds, but I usually try to hold it for 4 seconds so then you can calm down a little less.
All right, so now I'm going to teach you guys a strategy. So what you're going to do is you're going to sit crisscross. You're either going to close your eyes or look down at the ground. You can either put your hands flat or in an okay sign facing up towards the ceiling. And then what you're going to, or you can have your hand on your heart and one on your stomach. And that's how, and you just breathe in and out so that you can just calm down. So we're going to do two of those. Ready? Breathe in. Breathe out. I can.
Okay, so those are the three types of breathing that we could tell you. We ran out of time, so I hope you liked the video, and I hope you use these breathing skills for when you need to breathe.
Again, I'm Aspen Rollins.
I'm Carter Lee, and our friend is Awhirly.
Thank you. Bye.